Hi, welcome to another edition of Marlins Rewind, the Week in Review. This time, let's have Marcell Ozuna explain how Barry Bonds has helped him at the plate, and then listen to Bonds admire Giancarlo Stanton's hitting, even in a slump. Hall of Fame broadcaster Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner will run you through the week. I'm Boomer Dangle. It's a pleasure to join you. Here we go. A quick refresher. The way a baseball schedule usually lays out, it places the majority of division head-to-head games toward the front end of the season, near the All-Star break, and in the last month. So with that in mind, last week's games against Philadelphia and Washington was the last time the Marlins would play the Phillies until July and the Nationals until September. That put extra importance on the week since the Phils, Nats, Mets, and Marlins continue to be jumbled together in the standings a quarter of the way into the regular season. Coming off a four-game split in Washington, Miami went to Philadelphia for three games early in the week. Marcell Ozuna batted Monday night with a National League-best 15-game hitting streak. His first at-bat that evening extended his run.
He's hit .433 during the hitting streak, and here he sends a high drive. This is to deep left center. It is a no-doubter. It is up, up and away. A home run for Marcell Ozuna and a 16-game hitting streak. And it's 1-0 Marlins here in the second.
Manager Don Mattingly, who walked almost 600 times in his seasons, has been on this for a while now. He says Marcell's patience at the plate factors into his new hitting approach. But Ozuna says there's more than just a good eye to why he's hitting .393 over the past 3 weeks.
The big guy, Barry Bonds, I swing in his bat. Those bats have more balance. And I just started using my bat, but my bat a little heavy, you know, on the barrel. He's balanced. I can swing real easy. Yeah, he told me, use mine. Let's see, try MVP. And I feel comfortable with MVP and say, okay, I'm going to use it for the game. And then start using it, get a couple good hits, and then change, using my way and no hit. And I say, okay, I'm going to start using yours.
So he started using Bonds' bat, and it produced 7 hits in the last 6 games. After Ozuna's home run Monday night, Justin Bour took his turn.
Hit a little tapper to the right side of the infield that Eichhoff made a play on. Here's a ball charged out into left center. It is going to be up, up and away, and a home run for Justin Bour.
Adam Conley allowed 1 earned run to win his 3rd game. A.J. Ramos closed out the 9th in another save. For as hard as Miami smacked those 2 home runs Monday, Philadelphia turned some weaker hit balls in its favor on Tuesday. A day after his first major league hit, rookie Tommy Joseph yanked a knee-high pitch down the line.
Here's the pitch, and Joseph hits it a ton down the left field line toward the corner, and it is gone just fair. Wrapped it around the foul pole, his first major league home run, and it's 1-0 Phillies.
That was the only power in this game. Philly's other 2 runs came from a broken bat single, the exact pitch Wei-Yin Chin wanted to throw, and then an error. Through his interpreter, Louis Chow, Chin discussed his 8th Marlins start.
只能说就是自己其实一开始牛棚的时候感觉并不是说很好，但in
the bullpen before the game, I didn't really feel well, but I'm happy that during the game I was able to make the adjustment and work it back. But there's also some hit that wasn't hit so hard, but that's just a baseball game. There's nothing can say about it.
The 9th inning rally never gained traction. The Phils and the Fish split the first 2 games of the series, which brought us to Wednesday's rubber match, where Philadelphia defended its home field. Even though the Marlins are 4 games above .500 on the road this season, the Phillies won Wednesday afternoon and took 2 of 3 over Miami. A frustrating road trip for Giancarlo Stanton, who tallied 4 hits in 7 games. He went hitless in Philadelphia and struck out 9 times. After Thursday off, Stanton spent about 45 minutes with hitting coach Barry Bonds on the field at Marlins Park Friday.
I mean, you want to be the best as you can be for your teammates, and, you know, I'm pretty sure we haven't even talked about it. You know, I haven't talked to him. No one's talked to him about it. I'm pretty sure within himself he feels a little bit of frustration that, you know, he hasn't done what he wants to do for his team. And, you know, our job is to support him in that and say, you know, it's a long year. You know, you're going to pick it up. We ain't even worried about it. You know, and when we get going, you know, we don't have to worry about it. So today he wanted to get out here and do his thing. Feel a little comfortable, not, you know, just come out for BP and you swing, and then you go in the cage. He wanted to come out and work out some things and not really have to swing so hard and just get his mind clear. And that, you know, that's all you need sometimes as a hitter.
Bonds experienced plenty of his own slumps. Perhaps most famously, he went 0 for 21 just before breaking the all-time home run record in 2007. His longest slump lasted 23 hitless at-bats in his rookie season 21 years prior. Regardless of age, Bonds says the most crucial part of working through a low period is talking about the problem at the plate.
You know, we have to be on the same page, and, you know, he expressed some things that he likes to do, and that also helps me. So now when I'm looking at things or I'm watching film or whatever, I can see what he likes to do, and I can help guide him back to what he needs to do and what has worked for him in the past and what can help him in the future. I've been there. I've been a good hitter. I know the conversations I've had with my dad. I know the conversation I had with Willie. But you have to express yourself too. I mean, I had to express myself to them, the things that what I see, and see if we can marry the two together. And that's the thing, is finding out what he likes to do, what's best that he's been doing, and marry the two conversations and his approach together.
A proverbial panacea to plate problems is to try and drive the ball up the middle. In Bond's eyes, that's fine, but Giancarlo is so talented, it doesn't necessarily apply to this situation.
There is no middle field for stand. It's back up all the stadium. I don't understand. The middle could be the scoreboard. The middle could be out the window. You know, that's a big, strong boy right there.
Giancarlo struck out three more times Friday night. 8 total strikeouts from the Nationals pitching staff offset 9 Marlins hits. The two teams getting their allotment of games out of the way early this season came in with an even 5-5 record against each other. But after Friday night's win, the Nationals tilted the scales in their direction. The team needed offense, averaging just more than 2 runs per game since the start of the week. Remember, early in the season, Justin Bour went the opposite way to boost his batting average. After leveling off a bit, Bour has started to sit on some off-speed pitches and drive them to right field.
2-0 the count on Bour. Ross looks at Ozuna, delivers, Bour swings, and he crushes a ball high and deep down the right field line. A fair ball, it is up, up and away, a 2-run home run for Justin Bour. A 3-1 lead for the Marlins on the long ball.
More on Bour providing the offense in just a second. As they say, sometimes the best offense is a good defense, and oftentimes the best offense is a good Jose Fernandez. Jose's 6 innings, allowing 4 hits, earned him his 6th win of the season and 5th in 5 starts. He struck out 9 batters and walked just 1.
JT had a really good game plan. I was just following him what he wanted, and that's up to JT. He's great, and that's his call, so I just follow him what he wants. You know, I have all my family here. That's, you know, that's fantastic, and, you know, I love these fans, man. And, you know, we play for them and we go out here and you know, we give 100% all the time for them. So that's amazing.
For the first time in Jose's career, he's won 5 straight decisions. The Fish encountered a 9th inning scare. The game nearly got away. With the bases loaded and no outs, just up by 1 run, Martin Prado saved the day.
Here's the 1-2 and a ground ball to third. Backhanded by Prado. Steps on third. Throws home. There's the tag by Real Muto. There's a double play for you.
Wow.
5-2. How big is that on a ball bounced to third by Worth, who reaches on the fielder's choice?
One of the most outspoken leaders on the team had it all played out in his mind before Jason even grounded him the ball.
Right-handers, they used to like pull the ball, so I was just aware of, you know, trying to keep my feet moving and cut off them. You know, and I knew something was, if something was going to hit close to the base, I would just set my mind to do whatever I can to double up. And fortunately for us, it was a pretty good ball to turn, and you know, that way it couldn't be the other side, and pretty sure that I was going to second base. So it's a pretty good win all around, and everybody contributed. And that's where we play baseball, man. This is fun. This is fun. Just everybody, you know, be part of a big win like this one.
The Marlins lost Sunday and are now 3-6 in games decided by 5 or more runs. Let's go back to Saturday and brush up on some note, starting with Justin Bour. He reached on a hit in every game at home against Washington and homered in the last 2. Starting the season, Bour went to left field, third base, and threw the 5.5 hole to get base hits. A few teams even considered moving out of the shift to defend him. But now a quarter of the way through the season, Bour is hitting .357 with no shift put on him and just .246 when teams move around to the right side of the infield. According to Fangraphs, pitchers are throwing fewer sliders and many fewer curveballs to Bour this season and boosting the amount of changeups he sees. On Saturday and Sunday, he took two off-speed pitches into the home run porch at Marlins Park for his 8th and 9th home runs. So that's Boer. As for the big bad of Giancarlo Stanton, he ended the 0-for streak on Sunday, but struck out two times. After a hitless Saturday, Mattingly weighed the option, but decided it was best not to give his slugger a day off.
The day actually was better for me. The walk was good. Even that one of the at-bats he struck out, I seen better takes. Still, there was a difference in some of those at-bats today, so we'll see where he's at. And I know it sounds easy to give him a day, and he just had a day, and I don't think G really wants a day, and maybe he needs a day. But, you know, he's our guy, and we're gonna rise and fall. We got other guys that are going to do things. But if we're going to be in this thing long-term, G's going to get hot, and he's going to carry us for a big chunk of the season somewhere in here.
Elsewhere in the outfield, Christian Yelich missed the last two games against Washington with back spasms. That's allowed Ichiro to get 8 at-bats, of which he got 6 base hits. And for those keeping track, that means he's 44 base hits away from 3,000. He went 4-for-4 on Sunday at age 42, the oldest player to accomplish that since Pete Rose in 1986. The perfect evening also moved him up on the all-time hits list past Willie Keeler, who famously penned the phrase, "Hit 'em where they ain't." Yelich's back flared up Saturday afternoon. Mattingly had more details.
So I guess last swing in the batting cage before he went out, he does a routine before he goes to BP, felt a little something, got out there, started to stretch and was feeling it. Came right in, which was a good thing. He didn't try to keep going. Came in, I guess he had a little bit of this last year really, and he said that before the game that he was feeling better. Hopefully he caught it quick and it ends up being a day, 2 days, something like that, and not something that gets extended.
And lastly, out of the bullpen, Edwin Jackson returned off the disabled list this week. He entered Sunday's game with a walk and a hit, and Mike Dunn threw a simulated game as part of his rehab. Strange week scheduling-wise, the Marlins play 2 at home against Tampa Bay, 7-10 Monday, and then 12-10 Tuesday before going across the state to play in Tampa against the interleague in-state rivals on Wednesday and Thursday. For the weekend, the Marlins will go to Atlanta to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Braves. There will be plenty more to catch up on next time we do Marlins Rewind, the Week in Review. Between now and then, hit subscribe and have the Daily Rewind automatically download to your device, and listen to every game with Dave Van Horn, Glenn Geffner, and Kyle Seeloff on 940 Wins and the Marlins Radio Network.